All right. Hey, if you have a Bible, or if you don't, you need to get one. But if you have a Bible, go to 1 Corinthians 6. That's where we're going to be tonight. Tonight, we are talking about red flags. All right. We've been going through this Baywatch series, talking about different things that are at the beach and stuff like that. We started out with lifeguards, talking about guarding our own life, making sure that we are... Oh, there's a storm. Awesome. We won't die, though, I'm pretty sure. All right. So, yeah, it's a storm alarm. It's okay. Not here, just that there's an alert. Chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6. Okay, this second week we talked about looking for the right person and how when we are going to look for a dating relationship, we need to be looking for the right kind of person, someone who's godly, someone who's growing in their faith, someone who's at a mature place in their life. And then last week, anybody know what we talked about last week? About what? Yeah. Okay, four different kinds of love, right? There were four different Greek words. Anybody know what all four of them are? You can't read them off if you have them. I appreciate that. You know them all? Which ones? Phileo, okay. Storge, agape, and eros, okay. So those were four different kinds of love that we talked about last week. And which of those was the greatest love?
Agape.
Right. Agape love is the greatest of those loves. It is a selfless love. It's the love that God has for us, okay? Tonight we're going to talk about red flags, okay? If you've ever been to the beach, a red flag is something they put out as a warning. They put this thing out because they know there are hazards in the area, okay? It is dangerous to go into the water. Now, here's the difference. They have two red flags that they'll put up sometimes, which means, like, they can literally arrest you if you go into the water at that point, okay? So it's that dangerous. But with one red flag, it's like, hey, you don't need to go in the water because it's dangerous. But, I mean, we're not going to arrest you if you do. But with two, they're like, okay, it's super bad. You've got to stay out altogether. Well, in a similar fashion, okay, with dating, there are hazards that are involved in dating that if you're not careful, you can get caught in. And so tonight we're going to talk about some things that will help you out once you are to the point of dating. Now, some of the guys our night asked me, they said, hey, Pastor Will Forrest, he met his wife like when they were really young and started dating. So I talked to Pastor Will today, okay? He said that he and his wife, Tiffany, they met when they were in fifth grade, okay? They met when they were in fifth grade. They didn't start liking each other until they were in like eighth grade, and they didn't start dating until they were sophomores in high school, okay? So it's not that they, you know, they went to kindergarten and started dating and they have been together ever since. But what he said with that is he said, one, it's definitely the exception, not the rule, okay? Out of all the people that you know, probably very few met at such a young age and have stayed together. But it does happen occasionally. And what he said is, you know, you've got to treat people with respect because you never know who that person may end up being. It may end up being your future spouse, or what if, you know, it's like your best friend's future spouse, and then it's like this weirdness because you were disrespectful towards them and stuff. So dating is important, and the way you go about it is important as well. So tonight we're going to talk about that. I want to show you a couple of pictures here of a place called Andersonville Prison, okay? It was a prison in the Civil War, and it hosted about 30,000 Union soldiers at one point. It was designed only to hold about 10,000. And this is a picture of what it looked like, okay? There were people in here and just trash and rubbish and shelters and stuff. And you see there's one fence and then there's another one. Well, inside of that inner fence, there's actually a small thing. This is what it looks like today, okay? So you've got this huge wall, and then about 19 feet, and then there's this picket line that comes right down here, right? Okay? And this is where we get the word deadline, okay? This was a fence just like that that went all the way around the perimeter of the camp. And all the people had to stay behind that. They couldn't get any closer to the wall because at that point, the guards were ordered to shoot anybody who reached past it, anybody who stepped past it, tried to go under it, over it, anything with that. So it was a boundary line that said, hey, do not go past this point because after that, it is dangerous, okay? And that's why now we have the word deadline, which means, you know, you have to turn in this paper by this point or else it's worth nothing. Or you have got to have this project done by this point or register, which you need to register for the middle school scavenger hunt by this Sunday. Okay, that is the deadline. But you've got to do something by that time or that place or else there's a consequence, okay? Similarly, in dating, there are boundaries that you need to set up and that probably your parents have already set up, and ultimately things that God has set up that are for our well-being, okay? They are markers that say, don't go past this point because when you go past that, there's danger and hazards involved. Just like, you know, if there's dangerous rip currents out in the ocean, they've got that red flag. He says, don't go out there. This is dangerous, okay? It's a danger. So we need to be careful with that, all right? Dating should be helpful, not harmful, okay? Once you're finally ready for that point of dating where you're like, okay, I can actually start. It makes sense for me to be looking for someone to date because in the not too far distant future, I could be married, okay? One day you're going to get to that point. And when you do, that relationship should be a helpful relationship, not a hurtful relationship. Now, relationships have bumps along the way. You have arguments. It's not just like once you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, now everything is cotton candy and daisies all day long. And it's just wonderful. And, you know, a unicorn pops out of nowhere and gives you a ride to school. And then, like, you get hundreds on all of your tests. Like, having a boyfriend or girlfriend and one day having a wife or a husband doesn't just make all of your problems disappear, okay? But it should be a helpful relationship for you as you go along throughout life, okay? When Adam was in the garden, God gave to him Eve, and she was a helpmate, okay? She was there as his friend, as his co-worker in the garden that they worked together to do what God had given them as a job to garden. And so that relationship should be helpful and beneficial. It should not be a hurtful thing or an abusive thing or something like that. So tonight we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 6. Before we do that, let's pray. God, tonight we ask that you would teach us through your word, that you would give us insight as to how to go about dating, and that when all of these students are at that place, God, where they're interested in this, they're interested in someone else, God, that they would remember back to what your word says and the guidance from their parents and other spiritually mature leaders in their life, that they would go back to that point and that they would seek to have that relationship grounded in you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so dating should be helpful, not harmful, right? Okay, dating well means seeking to worship God through the relationship. Now, a lot of times we associate this word worship with like praise, like we were doing with Pastor Chris, with music and things like that. But Paul says that we are to live our lives in an act of obedience to God, which is a spiritual act of worship. So as we go through life, we can do things worshiping God, okay? He said, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God, okay? Using whatever it is that God has given you in life, use that for God's glory, okay? So our relationships need to be the same way. They should be helpful. They should be something that God is using in our life that is glorifying to him. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 6. We'll start in verse 12, okay? It says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both and one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Okay? Interesting. Okay? So he gets at the beginning about all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Okay? This is like with our idea of the red flag, that it's not against the law for you to go into the water under a red flag, but it's not helpful either. Okay, it's not a good idea to go in the water when there's a red flag. And so he says, just because something's not illegal for you to do doesn't mean that it's good for you to do either. Okay, or just because something doesn't have a consequence that you can see doesn't mean that you can just go around doing it, right? This is the whole idea with like internet piracy and like stealing things off of movies and stuff. You may not see the consequence, but there's a consequence, okay? There's serious repercussions. That actually is illegal, but something you may not think as illegal, okay, it still may not be beneficial. And so what he says is, do not just look for what does the law allow me to do and how far can I go? How far is it before that deadline post of that boundary? How far can I go before I get shot, okay? Because as soon as you start reaching your hand under that fence, you're in danger, okay? You got to be careful about what it is that you are getting involved with, especially with dating. And so what does good dating look like? It helps you to grow, okay? Dating relationships are super helpful for finding out who you are, for finding out what kinds of things you like, how well you are grounded in God's word, what kind of maturity level you are at. It also helps you, helps others to grow, okay? That other person that you're in the relationship with or the people that are around you and are seeing that relationship, it's something that they can grow from and they can see, man, this person is really loving this other person with that agape kind of love that we talked about. It's selfless. It's something that points others to Christ, which is another huge thing that a relationship can do, is that you can act in a way together where you're saying, hey, we are going to serve God in this relationship. We're going to do this according to his commands and what he desires for us, okay? And then through that, ultimately, God is glorified, all right? Another thing, honoring your parents, right? Obeying them. I mean, anybody here have parents who have like rules about how you can date or when you can date or something like that? All right, some of you do, right? Okay. So some of you have those kinds of rules. And so when you obey your parents with those rules, God says that is right. Okay, honor your father and mother in the Lord, for this is right. That's Ephesians 6:1. And so we know that we need to do that, and that glorifies God as well. We don't need to just be hearers of the word, James says, but doers of it. Okay, we have to actually obey it. So I've got a video before we go any further that I want to show. So Blake, if you can just have the volume ready on the soundboard. We're going to watch a short video, and then we'll get to talk about it.
Hey, guess what?
We're getting ready to talk about sex. That's right. I said it. Sex, 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 sex. And now for a segment I like to call Vintage Sex Education.
Then at puberty, certain glands begin to work and our bodies begin to change.
But where are these glands?
Yeah. And what's puberty?
Maybe not. Now look, when we talk about sex, you may get a little uncomfortable, a little fidgety in your seat. And whatever you do, don't make eye contact with the person sitting next to you while we're talking about sex. I'm just messing with you. But seriously, right now I want us to do something that is awesome. We do this at every Thanksgiving at my house. So on the count of three, I want everybody to shout out sex. I'm totally kidding about Thanksgiving. We don't do that at all. It would be gross. Here we go. One, two, three. Sex! See? Nobody got hurt. It's okay. And when done the way God intended, sex is a very beautiful thing. In fact, the Bible is full of verses explaining God's plan and purpose for sex. Look, there's some words out there. I know them, you know them, and they make your giggle box go off. So let's get them out of the way. Sexuality, intercourse, procreation, virgin, virginity, second generation virginity, West virginity, adultery, fornication, sexy, sexual immorality, kissing. What kind do you like? French, Spanish, Indonesian? First base, second base, third base, home run!
The celebration of actions which baseball innuendos are used to describe are designed specifically for use within the confines of marriage.
Passion, patience, purity, STD, HIV, LSD, KFC. Oh, wait. No, the last two are drugs and chicken. They don't have anything to do with sex. I don't think. Okay, are we good? Because listen, sex, it is a beautiful thing that God gave us to enjoy in this great life we have. So sit back, relax, and listen up while we talk about sex.
Okay, so now that it's out there, all right, now we can talk about it, okay? So I don't know what's up with that, what that was, okay? All right. Don't even worry about it, all right? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on with my phone. All right. So within dating, all right, we're going to talk about sex, okay, because it's important, okay? And here's the thing. You may have just kind of grown up in church where once you found out what sex was, all you knew about it was it's a great thing from God, don't do it, okay? And that's so weird because it's like, wait, hold on, God created something good and I'm not supposed to have it, okay? But it goes back to the whole idea we've been talking about throughout this whole series in that when God creates something, he usually gives a set of rules that go along with it that help it to be used correctly because otherwise it ends up being distorted, okay? It ends up being used in a way that he didn't originally intend for it to be. And so with sex, he talks about, hey, I've created this. It's, you know, he literally says the two people, the man and the woman, they become one flesh, okay? He's talking about sex, okay? He's talking about how they come together in that, but they also come together in a way where they are united in a covenant with God, okay? And that's why it's an appropriate thing to happen. It's like a glue, okay, where it's able to hold things together, and that's a great thing. But the problem is when we use it outside of marriage, it makes us stuck onto other things. And then when that thing is ripped away from us, it tears at us, right? If you ever take tissue paper and you put some tissue paper, some glue, some other tissue paper, you let it sit for a little bit, and then you try and rip it apart, like half of this one comes off over here and this one's over here. And then if you try and do that over and over, it just ruins that tissue paper and makes it so that it's got all of this, you know, what? Why is purple tissue paper green now? Like, what is going on with this, okay? It doesn't make sense because it's not been used in the way it was supposed to. Whereas if you use tissue paper and you're doing, like, Mod Podge or something, you're making a picture, well, you glue it on there and it's permanently fixed on because that's where it goes. Well, great. Now it's doing exactly what I want it to, okay? God's created that to be a part of marriage that is special and helps a man and a woman in their marriage. Because like I said, once you get married, it doesn't just mean everything's great and fixes everything. But there are some perks, and God gives that, okay? And that's awesome. So we've got that, okay? We've got this idea of sex, but dating well also means setting boundaries that keep your focus on God, okay? When we don't have those kinds of boundaries, our focus can be skewed and pulled in all different directions, especially towards the person we're dating, right? Anybody seen that before, where when somebody starts dating someone else, then all they focus on is like that one person, and they know that person's schedule backwards and forwards, and they text them like a bajillion times a day, and Snapchat, like blow up the internet and everything with like all the usage they have in their Snapchat. Well, here's the thing. If your relationship becomes an idol like that, and is all that that person is focused on or mainly focused on, okay, that's not honoring God through that. And so he says, hey, you need to have some boundaries here. You need to have some things. So what kind of boundaries should we have? Let's look back in 1 Corinthians here. Look in verse 15. It says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? And it's like, whoa, hold on. That doesn't sound right, right? Okay, never, he says. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. So he gets to it right there, okay? When you're united together with someone else through that, it's a special thing, and you become one with them. And that's meant to be only with your future husband or your future wife, because, I mean, think about if you don't go and you do that, and then now you've been with this person or with that person also, and then you're finally married and you're ready to enjoy this special thing with your one spouse for life, and now you've got all of this other, you know, other memories, other things that you're bringing into it. It draws in comparisons where you're going, huh, this is different than what it was before, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Well, that's not what you want that to be, okay? You want that to be a special thing that you and your husband or your wife, you get to share that together and just with each other, and it's an awesome thing. So, boundaries to go with this, right? We go back to obeying parents. Obeying parents is the easiest thing to see what the boundary is, because your parents will usually let you know what that boundary is, right? Like, maybe it's you're not allowed to date until you're 13, 16, 18, 40, something like that, you know. That's a couple of parents, right? And they'll set an age and they say, hey, you're not, while you're in this house, which is until you're an adult, you're going to abide by these rules, okay? And that is good. They're supposed to do that, because when a parent gives you those guidelines, it means that they care about you. Those things are for your good. And so if they say, hey, I don't want you to date until you're 13, respect that, okay? Honor that. Obey them in that. Don't try and do it behind their back or something like that, okay? Honor them. Maybe they have a rule about your curfew, and it's, hey, you need to be back by 9 o'clock, or hey, it's a weekend, you can be out until whatever. Well, be back by that time, okay? Make sure that you check in with them when you're supposed to, or whatever their rules are, because they have these things for your good, because they care about you, okay? So honor them in that, obey them, because we know that doing that honors God also, okay? Next thing, right? Going back to sex, it says remaining sexually pure, okay? Let's read on a little bit further here. In verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. This is a great passage if you are looking for some verses to memorize and to be able to apply to your life. This whole idea that when Jesus died and he gave his life on the cross, he did that to pay for our sins. He purchased us, and he made a way for us. Even though we were sinful, he said, hey, I'm going to pay for that punishment that you deserve for that, so that you can be united with God, so that the Holy Spirit can come and dwell in you. And so now we have these bodies, and if you're a follower of Christ, you look at it and you say, well, it's not that this is my body. No, I've given my life to the Lord. That means my life. It doesn't mean I come to church every once in a while. It doesn't mean when I eat, I pray or something like that. No, it means my entire life is devoted to God because of what he has done and who he is. And so we respond with that life of obedience, the life of worship, and it comes back to doing this and understanding that, you know, when we say our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, well, God is, I mean, it's in his name, right? Holy Spirit. He's set apart. He's special. He's perfect. He's pure. And so we don't need to defile our own bodies with this. He says, actually, flee. Bless you, three times. All right. He says, flee sexual immorality. Now, a lot of sins in the Bible, it talks about resist the devil and he will flee from you, right? Or it talks about how to stand up to something or to oppose it. Well, when it comes to sexual immorality, he says to flee it, right? Verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Here's the thing with it. It is so attractive, okay? And I mean that in like a magnetic sense, okay? Think about if you've seen Star Wars Episode 4, Millennium Falcon flying by the Death Star, and they want to leave, but it's in a tractor beam, and it's being sucked in, and they can't do anything about it. They're putting in extra power, trying to get away. Here's the thing. Sexual immorality will pull you in like that. It'll take you further than you wanted to go. Maybe it just starts off with messing around with something, but it will grow and progress and take you further than you wanted to go with that. And so when you're setting boundaries, those are things that are, hey, I will not do this, because beyond that, it gets really dangerous, okay? If you don't go in the water, you're not going to get pulled in by a riptide, right? Okay? Nobody's sitting up on the sand on you know, a nice sandy dune. It is sitting there, and then suddenly they're, whoa, I'm being pulled out into a rip current. This is crazy. You know, like, that doesn't happen. I've never seen that happen, Connor, ever, okay? It's crazy. See, that doesn't happen, but if you get in, there's a propensity for you to be pulled out, right? Well, same thing here. And he says, flee it. Run away from it. Get away, because it is so dangerous, okay? So another thing, in Song of Solomon, which if you haven't read that, let me tell you, this is interesting. Jewish boys were not allowed to read this book of the Bible until they got to a certain age, because it talks a lot about sex, okay? So now you're all like, ooh, where is that in the table of contents, right? Like, but here's the thing. Three different times in that book, it says the same thing. It says, do not awaken this desire until the right time, okay? It's a great thing, but don't even start messing with it until it's time within marriage, because otherwise, then it's constantly nagging at you, it's constantly on your mind or tempting you away. Well, if you'll just stay away from it in the first place, it's a lot easier, right? Like, hey, I'm up here on the sand dune. I don't even have to worry about the rip current because it's way out there, okay? If you'll set those boundaries and be cautious in how you date and how you have relationships and things, it'll take care of itself, all right? If you want to stay away from being addicted to stuff like pornography, okay, don't mess around with it, okay? Don't search for things on the internet that, well, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for something somewhat similar that may pop up something like that, and then, oh, I didn't mean to. All right, that's messing around with it. That's being in a dangerous place. That's passing that boundary. All right, and so when we set things up in our life as rules for ourselves, and we say, "Hey, I'm going to be pure because that's what God desires for me," you stay away from it. You don't go and indulge in those things. Instead, if something like that happens, what does he say to do? Verse 18. Flee, okay? Run away from it, all right? Get that ability away from you. Jesus said, hey, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, okay? Now, that's pretty extreme, right? But he's saying, hey, if something is causing you to fall, get away from it. Don't just keep on going with it because it has some value to you. It's causing you to sin. It's causing a break within your relationship with God. And so, hey, this thing right here, this is a dangerous thing, all right? Me and my roommate in college, we had a rule that we left these things out in a common area in our apartment. If we needed to use it, we went out there, okay? Why? Because there's all kinds of stuff on here that can draw us in, and we knew, hey, we've got to flee away from that. We've got to stay away because that's a dangerous thing, all right? Being in a date on your own, by yourself, out in the middle of nowhere, that's a dangerous place to put yourself in, okay? It's why things like group dates are great, because when you're in a group, people are a lot less likely to do anything, right? People are a lot less likely to ask you to do something when you're out on a date with a bunch of your Christian friends or something, right? And especially when you're dating a Christian person, when you're being the Christian that God has called you to be. So, you've got this do not awaken. You can set up accountability, like I was talking about with my friend, where we asked each other, hey, how are you doing? Okay, how are you doing in the way that you're dating people? How are you doing with your phone and not being involved in things like pornography? And I mean, that stuff is out there, and it is creeping in closer and closer, okay? Especially at your age, if you're not having this where people are actually either asking you about it, like, hey, will you send me pictures of yourself, okay? If they haven't done that yet, guess what? Okay, one day, you got to be ready for that kind of stuff. You've got to know, hey, that is past that boundary. That's dangerous. That's not of God. And you've got to flee away from that. You've got to get out of that situation, okay? This goes back to what we've talked about the 3 weeks. Being the right person, searching for the right person with the right motivation, the right kind of love. Okay? Now, I want to talk about this because a question a lot of people ask, you know, if you've got that deadline, that fence, people want to know what? How close can you get before it's dangerous, right? Okay? So to do this, I have a game called How Close is Too Close, okay? So this is 50 meters. Okay, I think that's a little far away. When you have to shout at people, that may be a sign, okay? So here's what we're going to do. These are pictures of people who are kind of close in a bunch of movies. And so if you figure out what movie it is, just shout it out, all right?
What the heck?
All right, there you go. Anybody? Anybody know this one?